Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Mem Dalet. We are holding on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the second to last skinny line on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Ki Asa Rav Dimi. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom. It's also sponsored by Gabriel and Elisa Sazne, in honor of the birth of their granddaughter, Rachel, to Eitan and Dina Sazne, with eternal gratitude, Takarosh Baruch Hu, Mazel Tov to the Sazne family. They should be zochet to see their granddaughter raised, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to finish up today first is we're going to discuss the last of the three statements of Rav Dimi, Rabbi Yochum, Shmuel Blasman Yaakov. Then we're going to get into all four statements of various Kazerus Rabbanan that were taught by Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the Tumah status on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Tumah status of Dalet Amos that are around the Kever, and under what circumstances those Dalet Amos are considered to be like a Kever, and the Chatzer a Kever that's near the Kever as well. Then the Gemara is going to have four explanations of a Pasuk in Mishle. And one of those explanations is going to be about how one should arrange their life in terms of getting all the ducks in a row in order to have a fully fulfilled, job and a wife and a house and everything. So what comes in what order? And the other three explanations are going to be about Talmud Torah. They're going to be about the arrangement of one's life as far as learning goes. Then we're going to have the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about three different opinions of what is considered Yarei V'Rach HaLevav, because that's one of the people that the Torah says goes back from Milchama. So who is a Yarei? Who qualifies as a Yarei V'Rach HaLevav? The Mishnah is also going to tell us how there were officers in the front and there were guards in the back of any troop of soldiers that was going out, and what their job was of the guards in the back of the army. And that discussion, the Gemara's elaboration of that Mishnah, is going to take us to the end of the 8th parak, and then Bez Hashem later we'll begin at the end of the daf, we begin the 9th parak of Maseches Sota, and the 9th parak is the final parak of Maseches Sota, and that is parak Egla Arufa. And the Mishnah is going to talk about how many members of the Sanhedrin are involved in the Egla Arufa procedure, and we're going to talk about some cases where we don't do an Egla Arufa procedure. Then the Gemara is going to have a limud from Sukkim on the number of Dayanim that are needed for Egla Arufa, meaning the numbers that we mention in the Mishnah are not just Stam, it's obviously that it's based on something. So we're going to show the Pesukim upon which we base those numbers. So let's begin. Ki Asa Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochum Yishomil Blazer Ben Yaakov. Meis Tofes Arba Amos L'Kriya Shema. In the four Amos around the mace, you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema in that area. Not only not allowed to read Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to daven there, you're not allowed to go with Tefillin, you're not allowed to go with Sefer Torah Bezroo. That's what the Meiri points out. This is based on Brachos Taf Yud Ches. It's Pharisee writes, the reason we dafka pick Kriya Shema is to tell us that Kriya Shema is the only one of those mitzvos that has a zman, it has a sof zman. See, even though the zman Kriya Shema is going to pass if you don't say Kriya Shema right now, but there's a mace right here in front of you. So what are you supposed to do? What you're supposed to do is you miss the zman, that a person is not allowed to say Kriya Shema in the presence of a mace. Why? Because the pasuk in Mishlei says, Loig l'rash cheref osehu. Someone who mocks, someone who's impoverished, it's as if he's saying that Hashem didn't make him poor like the other guy. It's that it's your own fault that you're poor. So too, when someone says Kriya Shema in proximity to a mace, it's as if he's mocking the mace, that look, I'm able to say Kriya Shema and you're not able to say Kriya Shema. Implicit in the, whenever you have a mashal and an imshal, so both are true, right? Meaning it's only a good mashal if the mashal is true also. And the mashal is that when someone is poor, you don't say, well, it's your fault that you're poor. Maybe if you would have done it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who's rich and who's poor. So there are people that aren't so smart and that didn't do it and somehow have lots and lots of money, and there are people that did everything right and somehow are still impoverished. You don't make fun of an impoverished person. That Hashem, that it's your fault in some way. So too over here, you have a person. It's not his fault that he's dead. You don't mock him by doing mitzvos in front of him. And that's certainly the halacha when it comes to in a beis hakfaros, we talk our tzitzis in things of that nature. In fact, Tosos Maseches Nida says that it's only shaykh Shaychlog L'Rosh by Tzitzis and not by other mitzvos, because Tzitzis is Shkula Keneged Kola Mitzvos. So Tzitzis is a unique kind of mitzvah in that it's Shkula Keneged Kola Mitzvos. This Gemara seems to be against that, right? Because the Gemara is clear that it's about Kriyashma, that within Dal Rams of the Mason, now that I read Kriyashma. There is a halacha in Maseches Moed Katan where the Gemara tells us not only are you not allowed to read Kriyashma or wear tzitzis or tefillin in front of a mace, you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace. But that's and that appears in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara goes through a whole hierarchy of behaviors. That the best thing to do is go to a different bias. If you can't have a different bias, then build a mechitza. If you can't have a mechitza, then at least turn away from the mace if you have to eat. So clearly, we try very hard to avoid eating in front of a mace. But the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Aninos have a machlokas. Why? Why is it that you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace? So one opinion is this, that it's loig l'rosh. The mace is unable to eat, and you're eating, and you're indulging, you're enjoying yourself. Obviously, an onen is not allowed to eat basar v'yayin, but anything, even just a tuna fish sandwich in front of the mace. The other opinion is, no, it's got nothing to do with loig l'rosh. Loig l'rosh is about mitzvos. He doesn't care that he can't eat a tuna fish sandwich. Whatever he's enjoying in Gan Eden is better than a tuna fish sandwich. So it's not about that. It's about mitzvos. That hayom la'sosim l'machar l'kabel scharam. No, the reason you're not allowed to eat in front of a mace is that what bizyonos, you're supposed to be taking care of the mace. And instead of taking care of the mace, you're taking care of yourself. So it's an open bizoya mace. Nafkamina would be who the yisr applies to. What if it's a member of the Chavar Kadisha who's just watching the mace and, voluntarily, or someone who just happens to be around in that room, but he's not a karov, it's not his mace to take care of, it's not his responsibility, whereas a karov, it's his responsibility. So if it's an issue of loy grosh has nothing to do with whether you're a karov or not, that's for everybody. But if it's about your responsibility to take care of the mace, then that's only for Krovim. The nafkamina would be for Shabbos, where there's nothing to do for the mace on Shabbos. So if it's about loig l'rosh, then even on Shabbos the yisur of achil lefnei mace would apply. But if it's about being mevaz of the mace, so then it would not apply on Shabbos, since there's nothing you should be doing for him anyway at that time. Rav Shechter told us that when his father was sick and he was on a feeding tube or something, he was on an IV in a feeding tube, he wouldn't eat in the hospital room. He said, at the very least, you see that it's loig l'rosh. If a person is unable to do something and you're going and you're indulging yourself doing that right in front of his face. So he said he didn't think it was proper. He thought that, according to the opinion, that's loig l'rosh. If it's true of a mace, kal v'chomer, it's true of a living person who's unable to do those things. Anyway, so once the Gemara brings this Memra of Rabbi Yochanan, the Memra of Blas Ben Yaakov, so the Gemara is going to bring four Memros of Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Churgisa, a stepdaughter, Hagdela ben Achan, that grows up among the brothers who are not her brothers, they're stepbrothers to her, Asur Linasilachan, is not allowed to marry any of those stepbrothers, Demischazi Kiachtayu, because it's a Marasayan. Everyone's going to think that he married his sister, and that's going to look very strange, and very Asur, so Velohi. But says Gemara, we don't have to be Choshish for that, because Kala Islay the Milsa. Everyone's going to know about it. It's strange enough that everyone will talk about that too. So, and they'll fill in all the details, so you don't have to worry that people are going to think that you're doing an iser. V'am Rabbi Yitzchak, V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, leket shichupeya sha'asa'an begoren hukvu l'maiser. That if an ani collects so much leket shichupeya that he can make a whole goren, he can make a whole silo out of it, so then it's hukvu l'maiser. Even though matnos aniyim typically are not chayiv in shumas maisros, but once you have so much, it looks like you have your own field, and it looks like you're dealing with your own produce. So then you have to take maestros. Midrabanan, it's chayvin maestro, because someone who sees it is going to say, oh, he probably grew this in his own field. He's not going to think that such a massive amount came from hefker. So amar ula lo amaran elabasada. The idea that matnos aniyim, that you are a son, begar, become chayvin maestros, is only if you make the kri in the field, where people are going to say that kan gadlu, that it must have grown over here. Avol bi'ir, but if you make it out in the city where you take from the field a little little bit from this field, a little bit from that field, and you bring it home. And once you've amassed a certain amount in your home, so then you have a big pile, so then you're not chayiv maishus even midrabban, because kala ilsa milsa. Everyone realizes that you've been collecting for such a long time. You take a little bit here and every a little bit there, and no one's going to think that you grew it yourself. Third statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochum, Yishum, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Yalda pchusa mitefach. If you have a small a sapling of a grapevine that's smaller than a tefach, that's lower than a tefach, einam kadeshes as hazra'im. It does not aser the neighboring zra'im in kilei akerem. Normally, if a vine is growing near other zra'im, so it makes it aser bahana, and it's kilei akerem. But if the vine is such a tiny little vine, it's pachas mitefach, then it's not going to aser bahana the neighboring grains. V'hani mili, the idea that it's not going to aser the zra'im is only shtayim k'neg shtayim vachsiyot zanav, is if it's it's the bare minimum definition of a vineyard of two gefanim on one side, two gefanim on the other side, and one gef and one vine right behind it. Aval kule kerem maktish. But if you have an entire vineyard, a large vineyard full of these tiny little vines, then it's going to be maktish. It's going to aser bahana'a the zra'im that are nearby as kilei kerem, because a large kerem, it's already a large kerem, and the chamor goes there in such a case that even though they're very tiny, they're going to be able to aser things as kilei kerem. And then final, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Meis tofes arba amos lutuma. Anyone who goes within dalet amos of a meis is tamei midrabanan. This was a gezeira midrabanan, so that ochle taharos will not get too close to a meis, because then we have to be choshesh that they're going to stretch out their arm and they're going to be mayil over the meis, and they're not going to realize, and they're going to become tamei midoraisa. So if you stay four amos away, so now we know you're not going to ever actually, even by accident, even inadvertently, be metame to a mace. V'tana tuna, and the Tana of the Mishnah says this, because there's a Mishnah, Masechas Ha'olos, Perek Tes Vav, where it says, chatzar akever, the chatzar that you go into, that you use to enter into the ma'aros, the caves where they have kvarim. It used to be that kvarim were not typically just an open field, an open area where, you know, like we have by our cemeteries, where, you know, on a cold day, it is the coldest place on earth, and on a hot day it's the hottest place on earth, because it's just a wide open area. No, it used to be that it was like it was inside of a cave that they would bury people. So there was a chatzar area through which you entered into the cave where they have all of the mason buried. So Omid Betocha, someone who stands inside of it, wherever he is, Tahar, he's Tahar, even though he's right near a kever, because the chamor only goes to Dalet Amos when it's Munach Ba'avir, when it's out in the open, so that you don't accidentally be ma'ahil. But if there's like a wall in between where you and the kever are, you're not going to accidentally be ma'ahil. You'd have to get through the wall in order to accidentally be ma'ahil. But that's only if that chatzar is 4 amos by 4 amos to Beis Shammai. That's what Beis Shammai says, that's considered a makom chashuv, that it's cholik rishus bifnei atzmo, but less than that is not considered a chatzar. Beis Hillel omrim arba otfachim. Beis Hillel says, no, you look in Ilcha Shabbos, what's considered a makom chashuv for Akira, for Anacha, you don't need dalet amos, dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim is good enough for something to be a makom chashuv. Then says Beis Hillel, bamed var mamurim. When do we say that it's good enough for a chatzar to have dalet tfachim in order for it to be considered a rishus liatzma? That's only shepischa milamayla. That's if the entrance of the chatzar is milamayla, and you come down into the chatzar, and you come out like through a ladder or whatever. Aval pischa min atzad. But if the pesach of the chatzar is on the side, and there's just an incline or steps that you go in and out, then divrei hakol arba amos. And everyone would agree that it needs to be arba amos in order to save you from the tumah. So frek the gemara, why is that logical? In fact, that's the opposite of logic. Klape laya. What direction are you talking in? You're going in the wrong direction. Adraba, I would have said the opposite. Minatzad midrid v'nafik. When it's from minatzad, so you could go out through the steps and you can and you'll be far away from the ma'ara. You don't have to worry about being ma'il on the kvarim. But mila ma'ilu, when you have to jump out from the top, you're going to be you're flailing and your arms are going to be reaching one way or the other, and your beged is going to come out and it's going to be ma'il on the kever. It's much more difficult not to be ma'il on the kever. So says Gemara Ella, you're right. Let's flip that around. Bamed varmamurim. When do we say that it's good enough to have dalit fachim? That's shapischa min atzad. That's when there's easy access to go in and out, and therefore you'll be more mesudar, and you're not going to end up being ma'il on anything. Avol pischa min lemaila. But if the pesach is min lemaila, where you're going to have to be kofetz and you're going to have to jump up and grab and whatever, so then arba amos. Then we're only comfortable if it's an area of dalit amos, so that you're safe not to be ma'il on anything. V'hani mili demesayma mechitzasa. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that someone who's right near a kever becomes tame is only by chatzar a kever demesayma mechitzasa. The mechitzos are very clear to separate him from the kever, so there's no chashing be ma'ahil, and that's why the chatzar a kever is okay, even though you're within dalet amos. Avol meis bialma. But if you have a dead body in an open area where there's a real chashash that you can be ma'il, then toughest. Then the arba amos around him is going to be tamei as well, and anyone who goes within those dalet amos becomes tamei on a drabbanan level. Because if a mace were not to be metamei, the area in his immediate surroundings, why would the Tana say that dafka if you're omid b'tol chatzar, the kever is tahar? So it must be that when you're omid b'tol chatzar, that's a different story because you have mechitzos that are mafsik, but if you're not within a chatzar, you're just out in the open, so within dalet amos of the mace, you're already becoming tamei. Good, now we go back to the discussion of the Mishuach Melchama. So the Shotrim say to the people who are going out to war, Mia Isha Sher Eres Isha, who got engaged, who had Eresin, and was Vala Lakacha, so he should be Yelech V'yashav L'beiso. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Eres Isha Vala Lakacha Yelech V'yashav L'beiso, Echad Amaris Isha Besula, that means whether you're Ma'aris Isha Besula, a girl has never been married, Vecha Maris Isha Almana, or whether it's a girl who's an Almana, Vecha Shemaris Yavam, or whether she was married to your brother, and the brother died, so v'afilu chamisha achin u'meisachonem b'melchama kulam chozrin. And even if there are five brothers and one of them died b'melchama rachman al-san without any children, so all of the surviving brothers who are eligible to do the yibum, even though only one of them will actually potentially do the yibum, they're all going to be part of it. They all go back from erachem al-chama. So v'lo lakach v'lo lakacha. Pasuk could have said lo lakach, but it says lo lakacha. Sounds like a miut that only if you didn't take, if you didn't marry this woman, you're chozer me'erachem al-chama. But it sounds like there are other women that if you're ma'aris v'lo lakach, that you would not be exempt from war. So prat la'alman al-kohen gadol, prusha v'chalutzul al-kohen hedyot, mamzer sinasin l'Yisrael, basisol l'mamzer l'nasin. That's if it's a forbidden marriage, right? If one has a marriage that is forbidden, that's an iser, probably midaraisa, although chalutza l'kohen hedot is midrabanan, so then you're not going to be chozer me'erachem al-chama. So lema delok Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that seems to be against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? Di'i Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because if you're going to assume like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you have to ask the question, why if one is ma'aris, a woman who's asura to him, should he not go back from war? Ha'amar, ha'yari v'rachalevav, zeh, ha'misyari me'averu shebiyado. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, you have a different exemption. Forget about the exemption that you got married, you have an exemption of Yarei V'rachalevav. Yarei V'rachalevav, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, doesn't mean that you're faint-hearted. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Yarei V'rachalevav means that you know you've done an Avera, and therefore you're going to be punished for that Avera, so you're afraid to fight a war having this Avera on your head. So if a person was involved in one of these forbidden marriages, he's a Yarei V'rachalevav, and he's exempt for that reason. So says Marna, Filu Tema Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We could even assume, like we're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kidderabba, Dam Rabba, Liolameinu Chayiv Ache Yivol, that a person is only Chayiv, a Kohen who's Mekadish Grusha, is only Chayiv when he's Boel the Grusha. Matam, why is it that the Torah says by an Almana Grusha, Lo Yikach, that you're not allowed to get married? Mishum, v'lo yichalel. It's because the next pasuk says v'lo yichalel zaro bi'amav. So that we learn from there that only if the marriage is done in such a way that it's mechalel the isha or the zera from kedushas kuhuna, is there an avera in kedushin. But when it's not going to be mechalel the zera, then there's no iser. So mishamachi en aloka ad sheyivel, and therefore you don't get malchus for just the erusin alone, unless you are boel. That only then does the woman become a chalal lakuna. So therefore, if a person is ma'aris, a woman who's asura to him, he doesn't go back for more, even according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, based on that he's yari me'aver shabiyado. He didn't do any isser yet. He only did an isser if he was boel her. So that's why I need a pasuk to tell me, and he also doesn't have the exemption of being married, of having just gotten married, because if the marriage was the kind of marriage that would lead to this iser to chalalus, then even if you haven't been boel yet, so it's not an avera shabiyado yet. Even if you haven't been boel yet, so you're still chozer me'aruch hamulchama. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that says as follows: the asher bana. The pasuk says that anyone who built a house, and then it says asher nata, or planted a kerem, then it says asher eres. So from the fact that it has it in that order, building the house, planting a kerem, being ma'aris in isha, so limda Torah derech eretz, the Torah is teaching us something about the way a person is supposed to run his life. Sheivna adam bayis, that a person should first build himself a house, make sure that he has a place to live. V'yita kerem, then he should take care of his parnasa. He should make sure that he has a job, he should make sure that he has a kerem. V'achar kach yisi isha, and then he's ready to get married. Right? A lot of times a bachur will come over and say, how do I know if I'm ready to start dating? So the real answer should be, well, do you have a home? Do you have a job? Do you have an ability to support your wife? Okay, it's not such a yeshivish answer, so we don't go with that anymore. But that's technically the way it should have been. The Av Shlomo Amar B'Chachmaso, and Shlomo HaMelech says in his great Chachma in Sefer Mishlei, it's interesting that we call that Chachmaso, because the Maseches Yadayim, there's machlokas where the Koheles is metameyas yadayim. Was it Baruch HaKodesh, or is it only Chachmaso Shel Shlomo, that Koheles? But by Mishlei, there's no machlokas. Mishlei is not just Chachmaso Shel Shlomo. Mishlei is for sure Baruch HaKodesh. So that's a little bit of a tzarchi, and why we call it Shlomo Melch Amar B'Chachmaso. No, Shlomo Melch Amar Baruch Kodesho in Sefer Mishlei. But anyway, he says, Hachin b'chutz malachtecha v'atada basadalach. So we explain the pasuk. Hachein b'chutz malachtecha zebayis. That means you plant a you build a house. Then you plant your kerem. That zo isha. That's a reference to isha. That's a reference to getting married, which is interesting because banisa beisecha does not mean bayis, right? Meaning banisa beisecha is beso zu ishta, as we have in many places in Shas that beso zu ishta. This Shabbos Tav Kuf Yud Ches. So here as well, that's what we assume it's referring to. Davar acher, another interpretation of the pasuk is Hachein b'chutz melachtecha, nothing to do with how you run your life, it's how you run your learning. Zeh mikra, that means to learn Tanakh. Va'atada basadalach, zeh mishnah, then you shall learn Mishnayis, which has all the lachos psukos. Achar v'nisa v'secha, zeh gemara. Then you're able to get involved in learning gemara, the svaros, and understanding the back and forth, and the shakla v'tarya, and to understand how we paskin based on the underlying logic of each of the positions. So the Marsha points out that we compare Esek HaTorah to building a house, that you need to do all of the achanos until you get from the tafel to the ikr to the tachlis to the purpose, and that's why it says first to learn mikra, because that's the achana to learning Mishnayis, and then you learn Mishnah, which is the achana to learning Talmud, which is the ikr. The Gemara says that in Bamitzia, that if someone is osik b'mikra, it's midah ve'ena midah. If he's osik b'mishnah, it's midah v'notan la'asachar. B'talmud in l'chamidah gedol mizu. Meaning the ultimate in learning is certainly Talmud, and that's the goal. But just like when you build a house, it needs to be a foundation, and then you put up the frame, and then you put... So there's got to be a seder advar, and you can't get... But the ultimate goal is to actually have a livable house where you have have everything that you need that you're going to benefit from. You just can't get there's a way to get there. And if you don't get to that goal, you're an amaretz, right? That's what we had back on Daf Chav Beis, that someone who's kara v'shana v'loshimish tamidacham v'loshimish tamidacham means never learned Gemara. So he's kara v'shana, never learned Gemara, v'loshimish tamidacham. We said he's an amaretz and he's a min and he's I don't know. We had all sorts of lovely things to say about such a person, but the point is that he hasn't accomplished what he set out to accomplish. So there is a seder advarim in learning as well, that a lot of times people have the attitude, as long as I'm learning, so I'm doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what I'm learning, it doesn't matter how I'm learning, it doesn't matter. But a person really is supposed to be more thoughtful in terms of his approach to learning. Like, how am I going to accomplish in learning? How am I going to get from point A to point B? Davar acher, another interpretation, achein b'chutz melachtecha, ze mikra u'mishna, ve'at tabasadalach, ze gemara. Oh, so then we have a free phrase at the end of the pasuk, achar v'nisa ve'secha, elu masim tovim, that leads you to masim tovim, that you do mitzvos once you learn, because if you learn, you know what's asur, what's mutter, what you're supposed to be doing, what you're not allowed to be doing, so the masim tovim result from the learning. Rabbi Eliezer ben Oshel, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, omer, achein b'chutz melachtecha, ze mikra u'mishna, u gemara. In that one phrase, we have Mikra Mishnah and Gemara. Ve'atza b'sadalach, elu masim tovim, and achor v'nisa b'secha, drosh v'kabel schar, is to go and teach Torah, to let it be known to other people, and get schar for that. Ve'elu shenu chozrin. And then the Mishnah went on to say, and the following people don't go back from Erochei Melchama, Habon Beis Shar, right? Someone who built something that's not really a place of residence, or even a storage facility, just like a guard booth or something like that. And we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said that even if you're Bona Bayis Al Mechono, you wouldn't be Choser, that if the same house fell down and you rebuild it, you're not Choser. So Tana Imhosipo Dimos Echad, but if you add something new to the house, a new row of bricks, then Choser. Then you do go back from Erochei Melchama, even though it's replacing the old house, but it's now that you replaced the old house, you didn't just rebuild it as it was, you built something new, so then you'd be chozer me'orchei melchama. Rabbi Elazar omer, af abonim beis levenim basharon lo hayachozer, that even if a person built a brick house in Sharon, he wouldn't go back. So Tana, mimrei shemechadshno sub hamayim b'shavua, because you need to rebuild it twice every 7 years. Meaning apparently in Sharon it didn't lend itself, the ground or something, the atmosphere, something didn't lend itself to building brick houses, and the houses would fall apart. I got a voice note from Shamshi Shlafrak, our old friend, and he said that this explains the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, that what part of the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, it sounds so strange when you listen to it. It says that he's mispallel al anshei sharon shaloye bateyem kivrehem. Anshei Asharon shloim bateim kivreim. Why should the Anshei Asharon not? How about no one should have bateim kivreim, that their houses shouldn't become their kever? But over here, you understand that the Anshei Asharon, their homes were so flimsy, they were falling apart, needed to be rebuilt twice every 7 years. So you're davening that they're shloim bateim kivreim. I said, okay, that's obviously MS. That's obviously what it means. So someone must say it. So in the Masifta is amazing. So in the back of the Masifta, he quotes Yerushalmi in a footnote that says that's what the Kohen Gadol would say about the Anshei Asharon, because their houses are very flimsy. So Ve'elu Shein Zazmim Kamin Zazmim Kam Banabayis Chadosh V'Chanacho. So we go through the list of people that do not move. They stay. They don't have to go out to help in the war effort at all. If you built the bayis and you're mechanich the bayis and you're still in the first year, you're Ma'aris Isha Ulukah. So the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanan Isha Chadasha, say Inli Ella Isha Chadasha." I would only know an Isha Chadasha, meaning a woman who's never been married before. Almanu Grusha Minayin. How do I know that if you marry an Almanu Grusha, you also are Yotzim Muhammad? Tamalomer Isha Mikol Makom, because it says Isha. Imkei Matamalomer Isha Chadasha. Why does it say Isha Chadasha? Isha Chadasha Lo Yotzim Aksu Grusha. So Shein Chadasha Lo. To tell me that she has to be new to you, but if you've been married to that very same woman before, and then you're Maksu Grusha, so then you're not exempt from war in the Shana Rishona. You do have to go out to war. This has nothing to do with violating any Yisr, right? This isn't about being Maksu Grushas Obeisr after she's been married to somebody else. It's just a technicality that she's not You might think means only to Melchama, but you should still have to participate in providing, working in the kitchen on the base and preparing and working in the construction of the roads. So Yachl Shanimar Ba'afa Bona Bais V'lo Chanacho Nata Kerem V'lo Chilo Eres Isha V'lo Lekacha. I might think that even those people shouldn't have to help in any which way. Tamalomar a love. That's why it says v'lo yavar a love. That a love iatamavir. That someone who already was kones the isha, someone who already was mechanich the bias, someone who was already mechalo the kerem. He doesn't have to go and help in any of the war efforts. Avlatamavir alacherim. But there are others that do have to, and that is the people who are not. Kanso, we're not Chanocho, we're not Chililo. Omeachar the cause of Lo Yavar, Lo Yetze B'tzava Lamali. Once it says Lo Yavar, why do I need Lo Yetze B'tzava? Lavar Lo B'shnei Lavin, to tell me that someone who was Konis Ishto, if he goes out to fight a war, he's in violation of two Los Asseis of Lo Yetze B'tzava and Lo Yavar, Lo L'chol Davar. Good new Mishnah at the bottom of the page. So V'yasra Shotum L'dabar El'ab. Now the show to move on to the third part of the speech. Remember, the first part of the speech was said by the Mishloach Melchama and amplified by the Mishloach Melchama. The second part of the speech was said by the Mishloach Melchama but amplified by the Shotrim. So now we get to the Shotrim's own speaking part. So they speak and then Rabbi and they say, who's the Isha Yari Vrachalevov, etc. Shabbi Kiva Omer, what does it mean, Yari Vrachalevov? Hayari Vrachalevov Kimashmao. It means that he's a faint hearted person. Sheni Yachalamad Bikishra Melchama. He doesn't have the heart of a warrior. Viliros Kharov Shalufa. He's going to see a sword and he's going to panic. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Hayari Vrachalevov Zamisyari Mina Veros. That Yari Vrachalev means someone who has Avero Shabiyado. Ben Yoyada says, Itafka says Avero Shabiyado, because here who Avero, you don't have to be so afraid to come back. But it's Avero Shabiyado means a Maisa Avero, that's Biyado. Lefichach, and therefore, Tosla Torres, Kal Elu, the Torah gives all these other excuses to not fight a war, that you can go back and you don't have to be embarrassed. Someone who's Yari min Aver Shabiyadu, because if you were to only get up and say, whoever has Aver Shabiyadu should return from war, then everyone's going to be embarrassed to admit that they have Aver Shabiyadu. So they say all these other things. You know, if you built a house, or you plant a vineyard. So a guy who's afraid of Averus will say, yeah, my vineyard is needs tending or whatever. So he'll always have that excuse that this is the exemptions from war. They say that the maskilim in Valashin, I think it was, they ran a Purim play or something, or maybe it was in the yeshiva in Valashin that they did a Purim spiel or something where they reenacted the whole Mashuach Melchama speech, and they had a whole thing where they said Mia ish shereres isha, and a few people walk off the stage, and Sharbanabais, a few people walked off the stage, and they go through the whole thing, and Avera Shabiyado, and everyone walks off the stage except for the Netziv and Reb Chaim Brisker, the only ones left on the stage. So that was the joke, that these two, Shvacha Talmidei Chacham are going to win the whole Muhammad. So Reb Chaim got up and he said, the next chapter is we win the Muhammad, because you're going with the Koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning all of this makes no sense from a military logistics perspective. The people who do Averos are very often, aggressive people. They might be good soldiers, but that's not the soldiers that a Jewish army needs. The Jewish army needs soldiers that are going with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that relates back to the other speech, that they go with the power of Goliath. We go with the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Almanu L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutza, L'Kohen Hedyot, Mamzeresim, L'Sin L'Yisrael, Basol, Mamzul Nasin, Harei Hu HaYari V'Rachalev. Yari V'Rachalev doesn't mean any Avera. It means these particular Averos, these forbidden marriages. That's who's Yarei V'Rachalevav. Vayikachlos v'shotem d'aber alam v'faktu sari tzvelos b'rosha am. So they would have the officers in the front, uba akeva shalom, and in the back, ma'amid n'zikif l'fneihem. They would put other people, watchmen, guardsmen in the back, v'acherim achareihem, and other people behind them, ukshilin shalbarzel b'yadeihem. And they had these spears, these arrows in their hands, v'kalam v'akish Lachzor, and anyone who wanted to flee from the battlefield, they had the right to stab them in the legs to make them sure that they don't run away. away. Because when you run away, you have a, in Siv points on Ramasada, you have a din of a rodef, because it weakens everybody and weakens the whole army. So anyone who's gonna desert the army is a rodef. So they're allowed to take the law into their own hands, and they're allowed to stab these people. Shetchilas nisa nefila, the beginning of failure in wars, when people abandon Shanemar of Nasi Shal of Neplishtim, the Gamma gave a Gadola, Hisabaam, Ulalanu Omer, Vainus Anshi Shal, Neplishtim, Vayiplu Chalalim. So Bamed, Varma Murim, when do we say that all these Asharos that are said in this parak of who goes back Mirchem El Chama and who doesn't go even leave his house at all, that's all the Mimchamas Horoshus. You have all these exemptions from Mimchamas Horoshus, of Mimchamas Mitzvah, Hakol Yotin, Afilu Chatzan Mechedra, Vekala Mechupasa, but from Mimchamas Mitzvah, everybody gets drafted, no matter what you're doing in life. It's not, you know, you don't get those like jury duty exemptions, you know, where I'm getting married, I'm going on vacation, I'm this. No, everybody's got to go for Milchamas Mitzvah. Amr Yudah b'med var mamurim b'milchamas Mitzvah. Milchamas Chova hakol yotzen afil chasim mechadra v'kal mechubasa. He says it differently, that all this whole parak was about Milchamas Mitzvah, but Milchamas Chova everybody has to go out to. So says Mar Maika ben Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What was the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Aglili as far as the exemptions from war? They both said Yariv Rachalevav relates to Averos, but then Rabbi Yossi said not all Averos, only Alman al-Kohen Gadol, Grush v'chutz al-Kohen Eder. So what's he limiting it to? Only marriage averos? So no, what he's limiting it to was only averos d'oraisa. He held that for averos midrabanan, you don't get out, get exempt from war for violating an averi midrabanan. Kemano, Zladetanya, who does the following b'raisa assume, like sach bein tefila l'tefila, averi b'yodav chazal l'merach l'melchama, that if a person speaks between tefila and shal yad and tefila and shal rosh, that's enough of an averi shabiyado that he's chozer from. So kemano, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that assumes like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that even averus midrabanan be chozer me'aracham l'chama, because according to Rabbi Yossi, you would not be chozer since it's not an avera midor raisa to be sach bein tefila l'tefila, to speak between tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh. The Rosh writes in Hilchos Tefillin that the reason you're chozer on this me'aracham l'chama on davka sach bein tefila l'tefila is because the zchus of the kiyum of mitzvah sanachas tefillin al yad v'al rosh is how the pasuk that guarantees v'tar zra avkat kod is going to be fulfilled for the anshei melchama, that it's dafka skula for war, right? V'ro kalav eretz v'yaru mimecha elu tefillin shabarosh, that when the other nations see us and they fear us, it has an intimidation factor, and it has the zchus of tefillin specifically is going to be able to help us in war. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, anyone violates nisa drabanan is going to be chozer. Not only is that which has nitzachon b'melchama. So why does the Tafka pick this mitzvah? Meaning not like the Rosh said. The Be'er Sheva points out that Rabbi Yosef sounds like any Aveira midrabanan. So the Chor is because there's a chiddush over here, that the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh are two separate mitzvahs, and they're not one is not ma'akev the other. And still, if you're sach b'neiyam, you're chozer. It seems like a very minor infraction, like not even a regular drabanan, because you're talking between one mitzvah and another mitzvah. So man tana la'adu tana rabbanan, who is the author of the following braisa? Shama kol kronos, if you hear the sound that the enemies are making when they're tokeya their chatzotzos, virtia, and that frightens you. Hagavas trisin, you hear them banging their shields, virtia, and that frightens you. Tzichtzua charavos, you hear them sharpening their swords. Umayim shosna al birkav, and then you feel urine running down your leg. Chozer, then you go back. Me'orcha melchama. Kiman, who assumes that such people go back? Lema, Rabbi Akiva. That seems to be like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that yarei v'rachalevav means a person who's actually terrified. Velo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but not Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said Yariv Rachalev means that the person has done some sort of avera. So says Marno, Baha, if a person is actually so terrified, I feel Rabbi Yossi Aglili mode. Rabbi Yossi Aglili will also say he's Chozer Me'aracham L'chama. Rabbi Yossi Aglili just added that it's also avera Shabiyadu Mishum Duchsiv. Velo Yimah says Levavachiv Kil Vavav, that if you're going to have someone who's terrified the whole time, so he's going to have a negative impact on his comrades and his other soldiers, and that would be a very terrible terrible thing. So then we said the Shotim finished speaking. So we said that you're allowed to, that there are people in the back that were allowed to stab in the legs those who were deserting. So we said because Tchilas Nisa Nefila, the beginning of running away is failure, is falling in war. No, Tchilas Nefila Nisa Mibayle, that's backwards. It should have said that the beginning of the downfall comes with deserting. So Tchilas Nefila Nisa. That's the order that it should have been said in. So all of this is only for Milchamas Rishus. We said, but for Milchamas Mitzvah, you're Yotzin, and everybody's Yotzin. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, no, this whole parak was about Milchamas Mitzvah. Milchamas Chova, even the Chasin Mechedra and Kalam Mechupasa. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rishus, the Rabbanan, Zui Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda. Mitzvah, the Rabbanan, Zui Chova, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are not disagreeing over here. It's just a matter of what they label as what. What the Rabbanan call him Milchamas Rishus, Rabbi Yehuda calls him Milchamas Mitzvah. What the Rabbanan call him Milchamas Mitzvah, Rabbi Yehuda calls him Milchamas Chova. So it's just a matter of how to formulate the words, how to identify the different types of Milchama. Amar Rava, Milchamas Yoshua Lichbosh. When it comes to Milchama of Yoshua, to be Kovish Eretz Kanan, Divrei HaKol Chova. Everyone holds that that's a Milchamas Chova, and everyone's got to go out to war. Milchamas Beis David, L'Ravacha, the wars that David HaMelech fought in order to expand the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Divrei HaKol Rishus. Everyone agrees that all of the exemptions of our parak apply to that. Ki pligi, there is a machlokas chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's a milchama that's in between. L'mutei ovdei chacham d'lo leisei alayhu, to generally weaken our neighbors so that they don't attack us. Mar kari la mitzvah, that Rabbi Yehuda refers to that as a mitzvah, but still they're chozim erachah milchama. Umar kari rishus, and Tanakama refers to that as a rishus in comparison to a milchama's mitzvah, and nafkamina la oskim mitzvah shpata min a mitzvah. Nafkamina, whether you call that a mitzvah rishus, is with regard to the din of osik mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. Because if you're osik in any mitzvah, you're pater from other mitzvahs that come up at that time. So the Tanakhama holds that this milchama doesn't pater you from other mitzvahs, and therefore he calls it a milchama rishus. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda calls this milchama mitzvah to tell me that if you're doing this, then you are in fact pater from other mitzvahs. Hadron lach mashuach milchama bezrim. Tomorrow we will pick up with the new and final parak, Edla Arufa. Have a good day and a great Shabbos, everybody.
A good Shabbos.